So here we are with Paul Tonko of New York's 20th District, an old friend of mine and of this program, and we're happy to welcome you back, Paul.
Thank you.
I notice you're wearing a very nice suit. How would you describe that suit? Is that sort of like herringbone or something like that?
It's some sort of pattern, but in a moderate zone, and meeting the professional standards, I guess, that we should have for business dress.
There are those people who think that as long as the government is shut down, Congress should not be getting paid. What do you think?
Well, I think that there are different measurements that colleagues have taken to respond to the impact that we have made on 800,000 federal workers, over 14,000 federal workers in New York alone. I, for one, will donate over that stretch of time to charity so that somehow I can make an expression of concern and be empathetic towards those who are really feeling the ripple effects of a shutdown.
Paul Tonko, a terrible thing happened in the district, in your district, which was the limo crash, which killed 20 people, many of whom were related to each other. And you've introduced a bill in Congress that would sort of say this shouldn't happen again.
Right. And we'll be working in concert with the families who have been impacted here. A very hurtful thing. Hit my hometown of Amsterdam severely hard. Many of the individuals had roots there somehow. And, you know, I think the fact that some of these vehicles can be modified and that there's no certification that is provided with that modification.
When you say modified, you get a station wagon and you split it in half and then you extend.
Adding a lot more weight and a lot more distance with the same axle design. And I think there should be certification of the modification that is made to these vehicles. And, you know, there's a number of concerns that will come the way of many who have learned from this very horrific tragedy. And we want to make certain we incorporate all that thinking. But certainly, you know, how vehicles can remain in working order when they're not functioning up to par, or up to a certain level of standards, is a very strong concern that I want to have addressed via policy.
Do you think you have a chance of passing that bill?
I think we do. I think that, you know, a number of people coast to coast had you know, taken time to reflect on that tragedy. And I think it reminds us that, you know, so many times people will step into a vehicle, not, you know, many people will hire a stretch limo because they're being responsible. And when they hear of the irresponsible.
Responsible meaning they don't want to drink and drive.
Right. And they were, in this case, celebrating a 30th birthday. And, you know, doing the responsible thing would also, I think, acknowledge the irresponsibility of those who are trusted. People are trusting their safety to these groups that rent out these vehicles. And so I think the public can readily relate to the painful consequences here.
Now, Paul Tonko, I don't wish to bother you with my language, but we do know that Donald Trump is just a liar. And one of the things about his lies is that he keeps saying things that we know are just not true, one of which is that if he can get rid of the ACA, he'll sit down with the Democrats and make sure that every person in the United States is well covered and taken care of.
Well, I don't think this new majority in the Democratic majority in the House of Representatives is going to let that happen. All of us who were there 10 years ago, 9 years ago, working on this legislation and all the fine tuning that came to it understands that it was a difficult consensus to build. And to just cavalier-wise come in and suggest that we're not going to worry about covering tens of millions of people or providing for pre-existing condition protection, we know that that could be lost if we, you know, go back to square one. And I think it's interesting that in the most recent House elections in 2018, a lot of focus was on the tax cut and on the Affordable Care Act, both of which their efforts to repeal and their tax cut revisions, tax reforms, were supposed to be their report card on which they were running. And it proved very detrimental to Republican candidates because people knew you now had this order of protection and you were not going to take it away from them. And they didn't want to see, you know, the wealthiest corporations in the world and the wealthiest individuals amongst us getting a strong break on their taxes compared to the impact that was going to befall the middle class community.
Now, Paul, in the last election, you just referenced that John Faso was running against Antonio Delgado, and a lot was made out of the Obamacare. And I'm wondering whether you think that that was a leader in the reason people voted the way they did in this election.
I think most definitely. I think that, you know, pre-existing conditions were something I heard a lot about during the course of my campaign. In so many ways, wild ways that the industry would reject coverage for someone, you know, overweight in toddlers or acne or a woman having too many pregnancies. And, you know, it's hard to imagine, you know, a world like that coming back into the agenda of covering people for the basic healthcare needs. And when you could identify weaknesses there or attach that lack of commitment to your opponent, it was, I think, a setback that we saw in many seats across the country. And it.
But you were right here and watched that particular election that
right.
I referenced.
And I think it had an impact on that election.
I want to ask you one more question if we have the time and maybe a little bit more. And that is that now you're back in the House. You had to sit there for all these years and know that you couldn't get a bill through. You couldn't. They just weren't going to allow you to move. Now you're back in the House. The Democrats are in charge.
Mm-hmm.
Is it fun?
It is fun. It's like, you know, my first 2 years in the House were in the majority. And, of course, my years in the Assembly were in the majority. So, it was always, you know, it was always a great opportunity to be productive.
Did they tease you? Did the Republican friends that you had say, yeah, you know, you're never going to get anything through here?
You know, actually, we did better than that because we were able to advance opioid epidemic legislation.
Right.
From the minority, I was able to get my drinking water infrastructure investment approved to the tune of billions. So we were able to achieve in the minority by working hard and making the public awareness that great that it would drive the issue. But it will be easier serving in the majority, I think, to get things done. And while I was in that minority, I made certain I started building cases for some of the issues that we did get done. And in the case of climate change, kept building with hearings that we would do and roundtable discussions that we would conduct that enabled us to start putting the principles together so that we could draft the best legislation. So it wasn't time that, you know, you just spent there and bemoaned the fact that you were in the minority, but worked to build the case for issues that the minority held near and dear. And through that commitment of the general public, we were able to get some accomplishments brought to completion and others initiated in a way that will now allow us to hit the ground running.
I only have seconds, so this is going to be a yes or no answer.
Oh, okay.
There are those people who think that the Republicans in the House treated their Democratic friends badly. And so I want to know, if assuming that's true, do you intend to treat them the way they treated you or
no.
do unto them the way they'd done unto you?
No. I think it's important for us to induce a tone and a spirit of bipartisanship. The country has too much unfinished business. We need to go forward. And, you know, the eye for an eye thing, there's no room for it. It should be bipartisan.
Paul Tunco is a Democrat from New York's 20th district, a guy who comes around and tells us what he thinks. And we so appreciate it, Paul.
My pleasure.